irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on February 9th, 2017.
That's right. A beautiful
overlooking
February
Sherman Oaks. That's beautiful, right? The mountains, right. And you know that we have got this amazing snow on the caps of the mountains to
the
east of us.
That's right.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful view.
Makes me want to go skiing.
Yeah? Let's go.
Michael, we have two great guests joining us today on the show, and we'll get to them in just a moment. But before we do, we should thank our sponsors.
Absolutely. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
That we are, Andrew. And I see that we have someone joining us via telephone today.
We do, Michael. Our first guest captured the hearts of theatergoers everywhere in 1977 when she originated the title role in the Broadway musical Annie. She became the youngest performer ever to be nominated for a Tony Award and as Best Leading Actress in a Musical. She received the Theater World and the Outer Critics Circle Award for her performance. And the only things just continue to get better from there, Michael. Ever since then, she has been a versatile actress. She has traveled all over the world, and she has been in all these shows across Broadway stages and lent her star power to many tours nationally and internationally. Her seemingly never-ending list of credits from critically acclaimed performances includes Jerry's Girls, Starlight Express, State Fair, Les Mis, Disney's Beauty and the Beast, Anything Goes, They're Playing Our Song, MAME, Hello Dolly, Meet Me in St. Louis, Blood Brothers, Urinetown, The Fantastics, Evita, Oliver, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Annie, Get Your Gun, Grease, Cabaret, and Gypsy, just to name a few.
You bet. I'm sure that's just scratching the surface.
That's
she has appeared in the Vagina Monologues off-Broadway and on tour, and has performed in concert halls from Carnegie Hall to the Hong Kong Philharmonic and hotel showrooms in both Las Vegas and Atlantic City. Her film and television credits include Annie, Rainbow, The Leading Ladies of Broadway, All My Children, and the PBS special Andrea McCardle on Broadway. I should say that. I said it incorrectly. Andrea McCardle on Broadway. We are thrilled to have her join us on the show today. Put your hands together for Andrea McCardle. Well, hello there.
Hi, what a nice welcome.
Our studio audience is going nuts for you, Andrea.
Oh, well, thanks.
All right, and it's only because
it's nice to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you here. We actually would be offering you about 75-degree weather right now if you were here.
That sounds so nice. We're buried in a foot of snow as we speak.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Well,
I have two little Pomeranians who are chomping at the bit to go outside, and they won't put on those little boots.
Oh, my goodness.
So
they have
trying
to tunnel
to get
through.
Them outside, so we're all stir crazy right now.
Wow.
Well,
but we're having a snow day. It's good. It's good. Oh. We have Netflix on, and it's a snow day.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. So when you come out here to Southern California, you are bringing a wonderful show that we are anticipating seeing, and you are being presented by Chris Isaacson, who presents all sorts of wonderful people such as yourself out here
yes.
in Los Angeles, and he's a lovely guy. We like working with him. So tell us what we are, as your audience, can expect about 70s and Sunny.
Well, 70s and Sunny for me really is a look back on really from pop, R&B, to jazz, to Broadway, to all of the music and the artists, the kind of and career roles and parallels that shaped me as an artist from the 70s, because the 70s were, I mean, they were incredible years for me. I mean, you know, Annie was the first show I ever auditioned for, and to land a role in a show that hits, let alone the title role in a show like that hits, and to get a title song, I mean, a signature song out of a show like that, you know, that happens once in, you know, five lifetimes, if you're lucky. You know what I mean? It's a rarity.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it was such a strange, you know, entrance into this business. And but in any event, so this show, 70s and Sunny, is really kind of a tribute back to my roots. And it's all a nice mix of from Billy Joel to Sondheim, and we visit some roles that I've played in the past, but it's kind of a tribute to 70s music.
Well, you know, let's talk about that for a moment, what you said at the beginning of the answer to that our question. Your fame came so early and so very young. What kind of pressure was on you, if there was pressure, what kind of pressure was there on you during those times to live up to
the
expectations?
You know, at the time, it didn't feel like any pressure because I was blessed with a really incredible set of parents. And theater is a very different beast than television or film. It's a much more grounded, small, and in those days, you know, much more humble, quiet little, you know, just, you know, humble group of people. You know, before it became corporate and you know, all the movie stars and everything, it was a nice little humble group. But it's just so different, you know, these days. But actually, I forgot the question. I am so sorry.
It's okay. No, it was just about your.
I have two dogs running around here. And I'm so sorry.
Oh no, we're animal people. We understand.
We
no
should
problem.
Have Skyped this so we could see those cute puppies.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
It was just entering the theater world at such a young age, and being the title star of a Broadway musical like that, and then living with that during the actual process of you performing in the show, and then of course. Years later, it is, as you said, it's your signature role and what people remember you from, and there's expectations that go along with that. So it was just as children, I always feel children who are in any form of the arts are kind of fearless, and they are free spirits, and it's, I think, cool to work with kids, you know? They're wonderful. They certainly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, it's, I mean, I had, you know, newfound respect for my parents, you know, once, you know, I'm a parent. My daughter's now 28, and she entered as a professional. She made her Broadway stage debut at 8 years old into Les Miserables on Broadway as young Cosette.
My goodness. Wow.
And once I was a parent of it, once I was, you know, a stage parent, so to speak, I literally, it's a really tough job. You know, they have the cliche stage parents, and, you know, you find those around, but I mean, pretty much, it's a really tough job. It's not unlike, you know, a soccer parent or a hockey parent. You know, it's a lot of work, you know. But you know, I had an enchanted career as a child, and I know it's. I mean, I'm going into my 45th year as a professional, and to say that I'm still working, and you know, I love the process of what I do. I never got into this for any celebrity reason or anything. You know, I'm a music freak. I love all different kinds of music and. You know, I loved, you know, once I started in television, and I loved TV and film, but once I did theater, that just the whole experience, you know, became like, you know, I call it a healthy addiction, you know, because it is a healthy addiction. But, you know, it's I just love the art form. I love everything about it. And it's like live performing, like at the Catalina Club, things like that. Those are the things that I used to scare me to death when I was younger are the things that are turned into be my favorite things. You know, you have to have lived.
Uh-oh, I think we're losing her there a little bit.
Andrea, are you there?
Oh, I was loving that
did
answer,
I lose
too.
You?
Oh,
no, we still
did
hear
just
you
for
just
a minute.
A
you're
bit.
Back.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Here.
Well, feel free to go ahead. We're so excited, obviously, to have you out here. And I believe this is on February 13th, correct, at the Catalina Bar and Grill?
That is right, at 8:30 p.m.
Yes.
Well, I've got to tell you, it's going to be such a thrill to see that show because your voice is just so wonderful. You've had some amazing quotes in your press interviews. I think one time you thanked the Lord for no social media as you were growing up, being a child star and that sort of thing, which was very funny. What was the biggest success to you transitioning from a child star into adult career?
Well, Jerry Herman gave me my first adult job. It was in Jerry's Girl, starring with Carol Channing and Leslie Uggams, and I remember it was you know, I was 18, 19, but I looked so much younger, and I was not really viable to play somebody's leading lady yet. And so he had this terrific idea for Jerry's Girls, which was a celebration of all the great women that Jerry's written about, the Dolly Levi's, and you know, all the roles he wrote for Phyllis Newman and all these great, you know, female stars, And so I got to wear, you know, these great slinky Bob Mackey type gowns and sing these great songs. And that really kind of made New York notice that, oh, wow, she grew up. And so it was a great, you know, it's nothing else, like, you know, an incredible commercial. It kind of, you know, it was like a billboard ad, so to speak. So it did the trick, I guess. So well, I'm still here.
Along those lines, you've also done something with regard to Annie that was very cool, and that was you were doing a few productions of it, one out here in Los Angeles, actually Long Beach, California, for Musical Theater West, where you
yes.
played Miss Hannigan.
I did.
What was that like for you? And I know that was the second time I think you had done it. I think you'd done it somewhere back east, actually, before that.
Yeah, the first time I did it, it was just, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it was very weird. but when I did it in, not going to lie, I'm brutally honest, but when I did it in Los Angeles, I worked with a great bunch of people, Steve Glaudini and
yes.
his wife, Betsy Glaudini, and yep. a whole great bunch of people. In Long Beach and at the Carpenter Center, and we did a great production of Annie, and it was a trip for me. You know, it's the kind of thing, you know, I'd like 10 more stabs at it. Maybe once I'll have like moments of greatness, but you know, after you work with somebody like Dorothy Loudon, there's no way you could ever even try to even pay homage, you know, to her. But it if it's fun for an audience to see, then therefore it warrants, you know, a production of it, you know what I'm saying? But it was, you know, it's fun.
Well, I happened to interview you right before a performance. I produce and host all of the Los Angeles interviews for Broadway World TV.
Okay.
And you were kind enough to do that with us right outside. We had a little patio setting outside of the theater, and you and I spent some time together. And I will tell you...
Oh, right,
you remember that?
Yes.
I will tell you that yes. the entire audience that we, you know, kind of mingled with them to get their reactions before the show were so in anticipation of seeing you in this role. It was like the talk in the lobby, you know? So, and you did a marvelous
That's
job,
funny.
Of course, and it was thrilling
well,
to see
you
in that. Absolutely. Would you do that again if asked, or what?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's something, I mean, I think the older you get, the better that will be.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know. Well, this is one show that will never go away, so you might be asked a few times.
That's right.
I think we'll be taking that redhead to the grave. Yes.
Well, now, obviously, we're talking about your amazing show called 70s and Sunny that's coming to the Catalina Bar and Grill here, and it's coming up on the 13th of February, a great opportunity for people to grab some tickets and go see it for Valentine's Day, of course. What's the one feeling that you hope people walk away with from this show when they see it?
Really, I mean, it's like the 70s were for me. I mean, we might have been, you know, kind of like dumb in the 70s, but we were happily dumb and kind of, you know, ignorance is bliss. But I don't know. I kind of had a really great time in the 70s. And it reflects that. I mean, it's got that optimism in the whole show. And it just, I mean, it we don't have the cliche kind of 70s music. It's a little bit more obscure and, you know, nice sets of, you know, compositions and a little more obscure things, more interesting. But it just has that 70s kind of, you know, sentiment, which really is, I think it's the crux of Andrea.
That's
so
great.
I think it's a good pairing.
Well, we can't wait to see this. Ladies and gentlemen, tickets may be obtained online at ticketweb.com or by calling 866-468-3399. And that is the Catalina Bar and Grill, Andrea McArdle in concert in 70s and Sunny, which is Monday, February 13th at 8:30 p.m. Doors open at 7 p.m. Wonderful food and drinks there. Make it a point. This is not going to happen probably for a while, so you'll want to take care of business and get these tickets right away.
Andrew, you do us a favor and give those pups a good tummy rub for us and thank them for being so quiet on
thank
the show.
Thank you so much.
And we will look forward to seeing you on the 13th. And this show just sounds absolutely fantastic. We love the Catalina Bar and Grill. It's located right there on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, and I guarantee our listeners will have a good time if they get out there. Thanks so much for joining us today
Thanks.
On State of the Arts.
Come see us.
Have a great snow day.
Bye-bye.
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 Wow.
Lovely lady.
That woman's performed a few times, don't you think?
Yeah.
Man,
I think
oh
so.
Man.
It's in her blood.
You know, it's interesting. We have something in common. I'm also not viable to be anybody's leading lady, which is a little bit of a problem. Yeah.
Good.
I'm trying to grow my hair out.
One of the
I'm
good things about life.
Sooner rather than later. Michael, I tell you, we've got so many amazing events going on, and obviously February 13th, the Catalina Bar and Grill is going to be a great one. But also on our live arts calendar here today, we have the Golden Age of Circus that will fly again in all its splendor February 14th through February 19th, 2017 at Hollywood's historic Pantages Theater. The producer of the world's biggest magic show, The Illusionist, have teamed up with award-winning puppeteers from Warhorse to present a thrilling turn-of-the-century circus spectacular. Sensational puppetry puts elephants back into the ring as never before, and a huge cast of unique, amazing, and dangerous circus acts from all corners of the world. From strongmen to contortionists, acrobats to musicians, knife throwers to high wire acts, and much, much more.
Good Lord. Yeah, I guess we have to discover the Golden Age of Circus this summer as Circus 1903, the Golden Age of Circus, prepares to captivate audiences of all ages. Perfect for the whole family, ages 5 and up. Please note the early performance time of 7:30 p.m. for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings. Tickets are available at the Pantages box office in person, online, or by calling 800-982-2787.
Wow. That sounds like just an amazing show, Michael.
Absolutely.
What a great way to give your kids the fun and the joy of the circus now that the circus is no longer traveling in such a safe theatrical environment where you don't have to feel bad about anything.
And a beautiful one at that, too.
I tell you, and the acrobats in that show, I'm going to be there. What an amazing, amazing production. Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
You're so right. And, you know, we have some business to talk about coming out of La Mirada. That is Kathy Rigby and her husband Tom McCoy's beautiful venue there. And absolutely, I would love to be there for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it is for anyone who's been in love or wants to be. It's a beautifully intimate, vivid picture of the five-year relationship between a young, ambitious author and a struggling actress. Unfolding in reverse chronological order, we see her experiences from the painful ending of the relationship, while we see his from the passionate beginning.
The endearingly funny, poignant, and insightfully honest two-person musical has enraptured audiences around the world with its spellbinding emotional score by world-renowned composer Jason Robert Brown.
So don't miss your last chance to catch this grippingly cathartic work on stage now through this weekend at the La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts, located at 14900 La Mirada Boulevard in La Mirada, California. For tickets, call 562-944-9801 or 714-994-6310.
Or you can, of course, buy online at www.lamiradatheater.com. Senior students and child groups and child and group tickets are available. Discounts are available for all of those groups, and they start as low as $20. My goodness, Michael, what we always say, $20, if there's no excuse not to get off the couch and go see a show, right?
You can barely get a hamburger for $20.
That's right. And this is something interesting. There'll be an ASL interpreted performance on Saturday, February 11th at 2 p.m. What a great thing that is.
Fantastic. Good. All right. So many other listings, ladies and gentlemen, that we are sharing with you exist on performingartslive.com.
That's absolutely right. What a great resource that is for Southern California performance events. We have a lady who has been so patient.
Yes.
She has been sitting
here looking beautiful and excited.
That's right. She hasn't fallen asleep once, which I think is remarkable. What a fine thing to have. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest got her professional start when she was hired for the chorus of David Merrick's legendary production of 42nd Street on Broadway and the national tour, graduating quickly to the plum role of Annie. A defining example of a modern-day performer, she is an engaging actress who's equally comfortable with the classics or contemporary fare. She is a star in every sense of the word and the proverbial triple threat. From high C's to high kicks, this strong, talented woman was born to perform.
A classically trained coloratura soprano and dancer with small-town Pennsylvania roots, it was during a stop at Washington's National Theater that she met and ultimately married then-Maryland State Senator Stuart Bainum, who brought her to Washington, D.C. and a new phase of her busy career. She now splits her time between Washington, D.C. and her extensive touring schedule. Audiences have cheered her recent performance as the title character in MAME, the musical, Tessie Tura in Gypsy, and Susan in the Signature Theater's acclaimed production of Company. On screen, she has been seen on the CBS hit show Criminal Minds and a new web series called Flax. Mm. She joins us fresh off of a successful run of Stephen Sondheim's rarely done Merrily We Roll Along at the Wallace Annenberg Theater for the Performing Arts, directed by Michael Arden and starring, among others, Wayne Brady. Please welcome the one and only gorgeous Sandy Bainham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, after Andrea McCardle, my gosh.
You know, two legends on the show today.
That's
my goodness.
Right.
I gotta tell you, talking to her was such a thrill. I mean,
she's
just
amazing.
And I tell you, I feel like if she just started singing now, I'd pay $25 to see it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, just over
you
those
know,
over
it's
the
funny.
Phone.
It's amazing. I did like Google up some of her work, like a while ago, just because I wanted to see what she was doing, and I heard she was doing, you know, recreating some playing, you know, Miss Hannigan.
Right.
I thought that was really.
Oh, that's great.
Probably weird, but so fun, because what a great role that would be. But she still has this, she just is an amazing singer.
Yeah,
and
she is.
And she's just a charismatic performer. So.
Well, in newsflash here, those words might describe you pretty well as well. I got to see you in Merrily We Roll Along, and you are as endearing as can be. And your vocals
you.
Are just superior. And it was interesting to watch, because as I told you before the show, I didn't love the score. I mean, I love Sondheim, but Merrily We Roll Along had kind of not been one of my favorites. But after seeing you embody the characters and obviously the amazing cast that you had around you, I really came home just loving that musical. I thought it really had some merit that I didn't get just from listening to the score. So you guys did a fantastic job.
I did too. I felt quite the same way about it. And I was intrigued by just the very concept of it and thinking back when it actually first took place on Broadway. I think it was a little ahead of its time at that point.
I was telling Drew earlier, you know, when I first came in the room, I think I was probably the oldest person in the
room. At 29
Michael,
years
when,
old.
At 29 and holding. But what Michael Arden said, was anybody in this room even born in 1970? 76,
right.
And I was just kind of like looking around, like, you know,
don't
gazing
raise my hand.
And peeking out of the peripheral vision to see if anybody raised their hands. And I finally said, all right, I was, of course, born. I was alive in 1976. It makes you feel really old. But that show is, it's so profound,
yeah.
And especially for me at this point in my life, because, you know, I'm a little seasoned, and you realize that you make choices, and sometimes when you're making those choices, at that very moment, that seems like the most important decision you're going to make, and it often is, and you make it, and you live with it, and then you start to reflect back on your life, and you think, wow, what if I had chosen a different path? What if I hadn't done that? What if I did do that? So every day I went to rehearsals for that show, it was kind of a labyrinth for me. I would get into, like, we would do a lot of exercises in the morning, and Michael would have us do, you know, some acting exercises. And I mean, I shed some tears in that rehearsal hall, just going through my own life's journey.
Yeah.
Because, you know, being in this business it's great. I love it. I do. I mean, I love it. It's oxygen for me. But at the same time, it can beat you up.
Well, Michael's directorial work, just with this show, but obviously with his repertoire, I think it shows commitment to concept. It says, I'm going to do this way and let it speak to who it speaks to. I thought his use of mirrors, and I thought, generally speaking, that theater fits so well with that show. It goes to show that when somebody puts something out there, a work out there, and it's reimagined in different ways, it has such a chance to gain new life. I thought the show was a great example of that.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed being a part of it. It was great, and I loved being at the Wallace Annenberg. It's just a great theater venue.
Yeah.
And I hope that they are very successful.
It's like the perfect size.
It's beautiful.
It really is.
It's state of the art. And my goodness, the dressing rooms are lovely. The green room is lovely. It's just...
Bathrooms are bigger than my apartment.
Bathrooms are great.
I moved in. I lived there
parking.
For 2 weeks. Nobody.
And
yeah, you're right. Parking's great.
Right
you're
there.
Absolutely
it's
right.
Fantastic.
Yeah. You're absolutely
to
right.
To be in the middle of Beverly Hills
and
have all
not,
that.
And not far from where I live.
Oh, that's always a nice... And in
I
L.A.
To, work. And no.
To find anything in L.A. that's not far from where you live, you immediately take that job.
Exactly.
That is not what we're here to talk about. Here we spend all this time talking about your amazing past work. You have some wonderful future work coming up here. And this is a show. Can you tell me the name of the show? What a great concept
it's
this is.
It's called Ever Blonde Word.
As in ever onward, but blonde word, correct?
Exactly.
I love
because
it. That's fantastic.
I always have that little catchphrase, you know. We often sign off ever onward because, you know, it's one foot in front of the other. Often, especially when I use it in this business. And I was telling Drew earlier that, you know, one day I was going to get my hair highlighted. I am a natural blonde, you know, and needs a little help. And I was getting ready to sign off for a friend of mine, and I was like, going ever onward. And then I thought, oh, what the heck, it's ever blondeward. I'm getting ready to go become even blonder. So my way of dealing with my midlife crisis has been to get blonder and get higher heels and then just wear bigger jewelry, and maybe no one will notice.
Well, you'll certainly fit in our industry that way. So this is a great, and it's a concert, correct? About how long is it?
It's a cabaret.
Okay.
It's you know, a typical 65 to 70 minute show. It's a tribute paying homage to some fantastic, glorious, fair-haired beauties.
One of them, which was certainly a very integral part of my life.
Andrew
Rosemary
David James.
Rosemary Clooney.
Oh, okay. All right.
Rosemary
Clooney. Indeed,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you my joke about her because it's part of my show, but she's one of my favorites, you know, because girlfriend could sing. Girlfriend mm-hmm. could swing. I mean, you know, when you listen to Rosemary Clooney, she just had that gorgeous timbre to her voice, and she could swing, and she could just sing a hell of a ballad.
Yeah.
And, she's just a real treasure. A real treasure.
I think the thing about Rosemary that was so unusual, having had the life that she had in the business and also on a personal basis, the things that were her demons during her lifetime, when she came back from her nervous breakdown in the middle of her career, her second half of her life and her career were as prestigious, if not more so, than the first half of her life.
And redefine the first half of
totally.
Her life. You're absolutely right.
She could
right.
sell out yeah. the Hollywood Bowl every
yeah.
2 years.
And it's fascinating.
Other venues like that across the country.
She's, of course, such a wonderful singer, but her acting almost sometimes gets overshadowed by how great her singing was.
Yes.
You just said the right thing. And also the richness of her spirit and her vocal interpretations of what she sang. I know that songwriters, when she was young, she had told me this early on in our relationship, excuse me, always... excuse me, said, sorry, wow, so dried
it's
out.
Great on radio, seriously.
That she sang a song the way the writer intended it
yeah.
to be sung,
yeah.
and which in the early part of her life, and which is probably responsible for all of those hit records that she had, as well as being, as Sandy says, a wonderful singer, and as you just said, a wonderful actress.
Yeah.
And those two elements in her later years, to me, there was nobody that could sing a ballad like her when she was older.
Yeah.
All she did was stand at that point and put her hand on the piano and
right.
just sing. And she was remarkable.
Yeah.
So a lesson in good showmanship, she was all of those things. And Sandy, I think you have many of those qualities, of course.
Oh,
and I've
you,
seen
Michael.
You in concert at my own nightclub, and you
yes,
do an amazing
I love
job.
That. I love the Federal. It's a great place to sing. It's a great, great place. I love coming there. And I'm going to be at the Gardenia with
yes,
this one.
Yes, yeah.
Andrea Marcovici, who's an
great of course.
Cabaret legend.
Was my director on this. Yes, my director on this piece. She and it was fun having a woman.
Right.
Direct a show about women because...
Is she a blonde by chance?
She happens to be a brunette.
Different, so she's coming at from a totally different perspective.
Blonde box.
She can be an honorary blonde after
she
this.
She's just so delightful to work with. She's an incredible musician herself.
Yeah.
And she tells a great story. I mean, she really can sing a song and tell a story, too. And so it was really wonderful collaborating with her on this. And... she has that old kind of Hollywood glamour about her herself. You know,
she does.
She's a lady in every sense of the word, and she just has a very feminine elegance about her that you know. And I can be down and dirty like everybody, but I tend to try to keep my ladylikeness at least out in public when I'm in Sherman Oaks.
We have standards here.
That's right. They'll kick you out of the city. We're within a school district here, so be careful. This sounds like such a fun idea for a show. I would guess, just from the massive 15 minutes that I've known you here, that this is not just you standing up there singing songs. I'll bet they get a lot of stories and personality as well. Is that correct?
Well, too many blondes, too little time. I mean, I could entertain you for a week, but I have like 60 minutes of a captive audience. So I tell little snippets about each blonde and, you know, how they impacted my life, or, you know, we have maybe some weird little connection.
So Rosemary was one. Who were the others?
I've got 17 Blondes, Peggy Lee, Blossom Dearie, Doris Day, Barbara Cook, Shirley Jones, Dorothy Collins.
Wow. So many.
Yeah.
Wow.
Judy Collins. Joni Mitchell. It's like 17 different Blondes.
Cornucopia.
Don't get nervous. It's not necessarily 17 songs. You know. And what's interesting is, while I was doing some of this stuff, you know, I realized that a lot of these Blondes overlapped material too. It was interesting because, like, the song I do, June Allison. I do a song for June Allison, and Peggy Lee also sang that song, and you know, a couple of songs that, you know, that Rosemary Clooney sang, other Blondes have sung, and Doris Day sung, and so it's kind of fun.
That sounds great. And of course, dinner's available there too, correct?
Yes.
So you sit and you eat and you listen to this amazing
concert. Why, you have to sit and eat first, and then you listen without clinking.
Never during the show.
You never clink during.
I was going to say, that's pretty impressive. If you can make all that work in that space, this is supposed to be a very fun space to work in, correct? And easy to get to, easy parking, is that correct?
I think it's on street parking there. I've never.
They actually have their own parking lot.
Oh, do they? Yeah. Well, there you go. I've
it's a parking lot that services the building.
Oh, okay.
The Catalina Club is on
the
ground floor.
No, I'm not at
the
Catalina. I'm at the Gardenia.
Oh, forgive me.
Yeah, it's
so
on street parking.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think it is
that
street parking.
That other star that was the earliest star
at the Catalina. Got my
cabaret. Well, you guys switch venues and then just do one at one night and then the other one at the other one. We'll tour them both and be in good shape.
Yeah, I think at the Gardenia you have to make your reservation for dinner.
Yes.
If you want a guaranteed seating.
Correct.
And the show starts at 9 and you can come for just the show and a 2-drink minimum.
Interesting.
And but you don't get guaranteed seating unless you have dinner.
So you have the option of getting dinner or not, or you can just come and enjoy the show. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Give people
you can sit at the bar
options.
And sit on one side of the room.
Yeah, and have a drink. It's even a better show if you had a drink.
Yeah.
Well, now we have lots more to talk about with you. We're very excited about that. But I want to give up the number for tickets real quick, just so people who are listening to this, if you're looking to jump in there and go get seats real quick, you can call right now to 323-467-7444. That's 323-467-7444. And that's for dinner reservations, and you can obviously confirm seats there as well. Lots of flexible options for people to go to see this.
And something that for you all to remember, too, is it's a 9 p.m. performance preceded by dinner, and you can get into the club as early as 7 o'clock for dinner.
Right.
That's important to know. And we talked about the parking for a moment, and I was thinking of the other venue, but there is street parking there, and it's a very busy area, so you might want to get there a little earlier than your dinner reservation has been made so that you don't have to have too much hassle parking there.
And this, of course, is February 24th and 25th.
25th and 24th.
Gearing up for the Oscars.
Oh, yeah. A little
the
preamble.
Pre-Oscar
Very
party.
Nice.
Are you?
I love to hear that.
Are you
going
to go to the Oscars this year?
Oh, gosh. You know, I haven't been nominated yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a better view. I would love to go to the Oscars someday just to oogle at everybody.
I tell
gotta
you.
Wait until I'm, like, famous.
Just driving down there. I would stay as far away from that building as I can, which is fine. Nobody seems to be in any hurry to get me up there on that stage anyways, but every time I drive down there during the Oscars, it's parking insane far away to get anywhere. I'm just always reminded of what a difficult town LA is to navigate when anything's going on.
Which
so.
Is pretty much every day.
All the time, that's right. That's right, which is why we appreciate venues that have such good parking and flexible options,
exactly.
That sort of thing.
Yes.
It's a great way. Now, I want to know, obviously, you've been in a ton of shows, you've done a ton of things. What's your dream role? What's the role that's on the plate for you sometime in the future?
Wow, that's a good question.
See, I went to radio school to study up for that question.
I have to tell you, playing MAME last year was probably, that's one of the highs in my life. I am kind of MAME. I'm kind of Auntie MAME. You think about, and Jerry, I love Jerry Herman, the fact that, you know, he was ahead of his time, and women appreciate him because he wrote roles for women. And he wrote roles for strong, independent women. And you got to love that. I mean, as I'm out there kicking the tires and hitting the pavement, trying to audition for different things and looking for great, meaty roles, I think, you know, I'm at a funny place. I mean, a role like that, which I go to auditions and people will, like, they don't know what to do with me because I am a middle-aged actress and they don't know whether to, I don't quite read a certain way just because of my body type and my look. And so I often, people just kind of scratch their heads and go, I would love to do a great juicy play. I would love to do some Tennessee Williams.
Streetcar Named Desire. I was just thinking. Yeah. I was just thinking that. That'd be great.
Took the blows of my face and my body. I could do that right now for you.
And directors everywhere start calling the show. The boards are lighting up here, Sandy.
Blanche DuBois is waiting for her opportunity.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I would love to do Tennessee Williams.
Now, if we can just find a theater that put money behind a straight play these days, it'd be fantastic.
I know. I'm auditioning for some stuff back east right now.
Cool.
And so a couple of plays, so that's kind of exciting. I just want a great role that is something that I can chew on and challenge me. I mean, I love doing things that are fun that I could yawn and wake up and do, which is always great. But for me, I think I'm at that place in my life where when you can learn about yourself.
Right.
And even doing Merrily and not having much to do in it, mm-hmm. I learned a lot about myself. I learned some parameters that I'm going to lay down for myself. I learned some new boundaries that I'm going to set for myself and my work. And I just, when you start to come up with those kinds of meaningful experiences, it's more impactful with, you know, your career going forward. So for me, something juicy. I'm ready.
Cool.
I'll do the work. I will do anything I can to try to please the creative people that give me that opportunity. So.
Well, if you can sell Michael Arden on a streetcar, we'll do that at the Wallace this coming year. I'm ready.
I'm ready for it.
I'm ready. That sounds great. You know, it's interesting, too, as we talk to these great musical theater actresses, it's what a great time to be involved in musical theater. There are so many amazing shows going up. And to do a compilation show like this, like what you're doing at the Gardenia, it's got to be amazing to sit down and do a retrospective where you get to sing these songs so many different ways rather than they are just in a show. That's got to be a very fun thing to be able to do.
It is fun. I have a tremendous musical director who I've been working with for at least 12 years now.
Wow.
Lanny Myers, and
amazing
orchestrator. Yeah. And he orchestrated, I've got a couple of albums out, he's orchestrated my albums for me, and he can take a song and, you know, when I first started working with him 13 years ago, you know, I'm a legit coloratura soprano, and the very first time he whipped up a song and he says, let's take it down a fifth. I got a heart attack. I'm like, a fifth? I mean, oh, my God, I don't even sing that low. But that man has extended my range.
Wow.
I mean, I've got a basement that I never had before. And so, you know, I can go down to like an E below middle C and up to a high E above high D. So, you know, he gave me that. That was a gift. And
yeah.
It took years to nurture that voice down there because...
Is it just you and him at the piano?
I've got Nate Light on the bass and Matt Hornbeck on guitar.
Oh, nice. Cool. Well, that'll certainly
fill. Can't do any more in there.
Very lovely full sound in the room.
Yeah, and it'll just help with Lanny's arrangements. He does great arrangements.
And he's a very interesting character, you know?
Very quiet.
Very much so.
You know how all couples, you know, you usually have like one that's gregarious and the other one's a little bit more complacent or quiet. Well, that's me and Lanny. He's the talker. He's great.
He is great.
Six-time Emmy Award winner, you know.
Well, now, we talked briefly about this earlier, and certainly on the name of the show, but when did this show first come about for you as far as when it first popped into your head, and what was the thing that spurred it on to make it come to fruition?
I think it was just my kind of journey through life, and I just thought about how I'm aging, and I'm just staying blonde. The minute I see anything else creep into the root line, I'm at the hairdresser a lot.
Look, sister, as long as it stays on your head, I'm happy. I'm telling you, man.
And I started thinking about it, and I thought, this could be a really cool show. I just have to think about what it's going to be. And I remember sitting down and talking to Andrea Marcovici one day. We had met, and I was coaching something with her because I really think she's an amazing coach, and she's a lovely director, and this is her directorial debut. So
wow,
yeah, on a cabaret.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
It is.
I did not know that.
Another person. So I mentioned it to her one day, and I said, you know, I've got this bee in my bonnet about doing a show, and I think I want to call it Ever Blonde Word. And she kind of perked up, and she said, well, that's kind of a cute idea. I like the name of that. What do you want it to be? And I said, I don't know. I'm having a blonde moment.
I did the title. You come up with the rest.
Exactly. That's
love
how
it.
I used to be with my dad. I'd say,
I love
I've got
it.
This great idea. And he'll say, well, how do you want me to make something? I'm like, I don't know. I've got the idea.
Manual labor. Get out there,
exactly.
Pops.
So, I mean, that's how it kind of morphed into it. And And she was like, you know, there's so much great music out there for blondes. And that's what I was saying earlier, is that the wonderful thing about it is that these are like legends and kind of, you know, older actors from, you know, the early years. And I only get through to like 1980, so I got a hell of a lot of lofting to go for, you know, it could go on, blonder, blondest, you know, I can just do a sequel and continue it if I want to do it. Because I don't even really get into the pop divas of like Lady Gaga. Wasn't she fantastic?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I didn't watch the game and that, but I saw the clips of her. Yes, she was.
She's a real singer.
Yeah, she is.
Girlfriend can sing.
It was funny to watch her and realize that the Super Bowl has changed drastically in the last 10 years. I mean, it used to be the kind of thing where that performance was just all about, okay, just get somebody up there and, you know, set off a bunch of special effects and that sort of thing. And now it's become a full-fledged show, and you have to be able to sing. I mean, Bruno Mars, a couple years ago, was fantastic.
Yes, he was.
Prince, you have to be able to sing and do some. It was really interesting to watch this year.
And, of course, all the commercials, you know, the 10 commercials that make it through. One of my favorite ones was the Mr. Clean commercial.
Oh, that
was that crazy? What?
I love the one with Cam Newton beating up on the little kids. He was playing football. He's a 6'4" quarterback. I thought it was so funny because I could see my little boy out there the first time he tackled me, you know, and I remember falling down and he really thought that he had tackled me, and he was just walking on clouds forever. I thought that was some cute commercials this year, and not nearly as offensive as some of the other years.
Oh, yeah.
There were years where I was like, okay, can't let the kids watch the Super Bowl. It was a great game this year, great halftime show, and really overall a good experience, and I don't think half the people watched it that watched in previous years, so its viewership was way down.
Oh, was it? Really?
Oh, way down, yeah.
Wow.
It's interesting.
I think
people were tired of watching the Patriots time and time again, and I think that Atlanta doesn't have a huge amount of support as far as nationally, but it was interesting to watch because I thought it was one of the best games I'd seen in years. Mm. The receivers were amazing this year, and the strategy, and Tom Brady, my goodness, it was interesting to watch that and see such a nice total picture for entertainment.
He's
middle aged.
She might want to think about becoming blonde. It might extend.
I read something on his diet on Tom Brady's diet the other day. He has a personal chef who said something like 80% vegetables and everything organic, and he's not allowed to eat certain tomatoes because of the acidity level. That man takes it very seriously. So.
He's doing it.
Yeah, and I guess at that age, if you can still get tackled and get back up, it's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. It's nice to see the musical world and the sports entertainment world come together in such a positive way this year,
I thought. That's true. And I'm also happy to see musical theater coming, like Hollywood recognizing musical theater. I mean, you know, it's great to see them doing these live productions.
Absolutely.
And La La Land.
Let's talk about that just for a minute. Right. Have you seen it, Drew?
I have not yet, no.
You really have to.
14 nominations.
History.
Wow. I kept waiting for you to invite me, and you never did, Michael.
So. You know what? I went actually very recently. I went earlier this week, and I said, I have to see this. I can't let another week go by. There's other movies I haven't seen yet either, and I'm making a point of trying to schedule that.
Right.
And I went by myself at a 9:30 showing. There was probably 20 people in the theater because it's been out there for a while.
Sure.
How'd you like it?
I loved it. Every frame of this film.
That's great.
From the beginning to the end, I could do no wrong by me.
That's great.
It's very entertaining. It's nice to just.
I thought she was amazing.
She's so charming.
Yes, she's a wonderful, wonderful actress.
Yeah,
and
she's so winsome.
It's not about singing for her, but her, you know, it's sweet and touching and lovely. Uh-huh. And he's
so cute.
Amazing. I mean,
you've heard it from me. He's cute.
Yes, he is a very attractive guy, and he taught himself to play the piano. And I'm not kidding. He plays the piano and dance.
Wow.
I've always thought that the world would be a better place if it was a musical theater world every day in real life. That's really how we were. That's kind of what happens in this movie.
With a little fight choreography.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. The rest of us need to work too.
Yeah, we got to keep Drew doing his thing.
There's plenty of those. I always remember watching Singing in the Rain with that great couch bit and thinking, that's fight choreography. I mean, I forget the great quote, but somebody said that dancing with Gene Kelly was a little bit like dancing with a fighter or dancing with a boxer, whereas Fred Astaire was more like floating on a cloud. So, I mean, you look at that athleticism, but it's interesting to watch the incarnation that the movie musical has taken on, because what a great thing now that musical theater actors can get those roles and can reach a bigger audience. So, and ladies and gentlemen, let me give you her name and resume here as we talk about it on State of the Arts. Great musical theaters out there now getting some great movies made out of them.
You need to take your beautiful wife, who's a wonderful singer and a performer of musical theater herself, go together, see this movie, see it soon.
Let's do it. Seriously. Do you mind coming over to babysit the kids?
I will be there.
I'll drop them off.
Takes.
I'll put a little collar and a leash on them. That way you won't see anything different.
I'll bring the puppies.
That's right.
We'll
get the Pomeranians from Miss Marcadella.
We'll add her. She'll fly those. Yeah, she'll probably bring those out.
Andrea can bring the puppies over. We'll have a big party. Well, it is that time.
It is.
Sandy.
But before we get to that time, let's just say one more time for our audience that Sandy Bainham will be in Everblonde Word at the Gardenia Nightclub in the heart of Hollywood, 7066 Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood, actually, specifically. And for reservations, and they are recommended because you do want to have a table and a seat for this, call 323-467-7444.
That's
323. Evening. I promise you won't forget.
That's right. 323-467-7444. And that's on February 24th and 25th at 9 p.m., a little bit of a later start time for a one-hour show.
Preceded by a 7 p.m. seating for dinner.
That's great. What a great thing. And we should go ahead and real quick give out the other address for the shows we've been talking about today. We're, of course, been talking about the wonderful Andrea McCardell at the...
McCardell
at the beautiful Catalina Bar and Grill, which is so fantastic. One of our favorite venues down there. There's great food there as well. And that's on February 13th. The next
one
show
night
February
only.
13th. That's right. One night
8:30
only.
8:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And you can. Where can you get tickets for that, Michael?
You can get tickets by calling the, by going to the website, ticketweb.com, or by calling 866-468-3399.
That's right. No excuse not to get out and see these great shows, especially with Valentine's Day coming
Absolutely.
Up,
so. Put that remote down. Get
that's
out
right.
of your house, off of that couch. Go
that's
out and
right.
support live arts.
And, of course, the Pantages and La Mirada have some amazing shows coming up. Log on to their website, see right. what's going on. But now the time has come.
Yes.
And now, embarrassing moments.
I don't know why you're laughing. There's nothing funny about this, Sandy.
Well, one of my most embarrassing moments was a lot of laughter. I was in 42nd Street, and... there's a scene where you've seen the show probably.
Have I
you
have. Seen there?
Okay, so you know when all the girls are sitting around the table with, and they're doing the dance, go into your dance, and we were all sitting there, and one of the girls had a little moment. It wasn't me, and we all started giggling, and we started. So one person started to giggle, and then another person started to giggle, and then the next person started giggling. Before you knew it, all of us really got a bad case of laughter that so uncontrollable that we were all like crying, and we had to like sing and do the whole dance number yet. And so there was nothing coming out, and I mean this was like real professional. And we were literally laughing so hard and still going through the motions that the audience started to laugh. It went over really well with the audience. It did not go over so well with our stage manager. It was like waiting in the wings to just like say, what the heck is going on out there? But it was embarrassing, but it was fun. It was just really fun. But anyway, I was embarrassed that I like lost my character.
That's
but
a great
it
one, Sandy. Oh, my
it
goodness.
Well, that's the beauty of live theater, you know.
It is the beauty of live theater.
Well, now when we come see your show, you know what's going to happen right in the middle
baby,
that Michael and I'll make sure.
You know, get lyrics or something, you know, I'll just say egg. You'll know what it means.
That's funny.
But no, thank you for having me.
Sandy, thank you for being here. We love having you here. You'll have to come back.
Well, I can come back. I know how to behave in Sherman Oaks.
You've been a good girl all day long. We appreciate it. Well, listen, we've told you about some amazing shows today. We want to thank our audience for listening in today.
And Andrea McCardell, if you're still listening, thank you.
What a great pleasure to talk to you. And Sandy, thank you so much for being here today. What a great song and dance woman you are. You're such a good ambassador for the musical arts. Thank you
she
for
is.
That.
She
we
is
appreciate
so
it. My name's Andrew David James.
I'm Michael Sterling. And where will we see you, Andrew, next week?
On the radio.
There you go.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.